Well, welcome to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach and your host. And let me start out by saying on this July 13th, when this is being recorded, that the rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. Thank you so much for the emails and some of the cards that I've received lately. No, I have not fallen off the face of the earth. It has been about 5 weeks since I've done a podcast. I apologize to those of you that are regular listeners that look forward to the content that we create. It is important to us that you get it. I have had some staffing issues, which we've just finally gotten squared away in the last week, so I should be back on board. Well, I should say I'm back on board, but actually I get to go on vacation next week. Ain't it great? Taking my kids to the beach, so I guess I'm going to make a podcast today and then be out of the loop for another week or two and then back on track. But I will endeavor to get back on my weekly schedule now that we have our staffing issue and some new people coming on, etc. Ain't it great? Or as my English teacher would often say, Paul, you can't say ain't. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Well, today I'm going to do a market update. It's been about a month since I've done a market update, so I think many of you may be interested in hearing that. It's not as doomy and gloomy as the press would want you to believe out there. And you know, once again, let me back up and share with you why we do this. This is something that I do on my own expense and effort. We endeavor to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. You don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. And I'll tell you that financial literacy in this country, or a lack of financial literacy, is rampant, even amongst college-educated people, even amongst the type of people that you would run into in your daily walk in life and say, you know, that person really must really be on top of it. Well, the fact of the matter is, who teaches the rules as it relates to finance? Who teaches the rules, and who teaches the motivation of the rulemakers? No one. That's what we endeavor to do on a regular basis, which is why we have the following that we do. We've broken, last report I had is 1,000 downloads a month all over the world. So once again, thank you. And it's, you know, for a rather average guy from a small community in central PA, for people to have this desire for the information and for us to get the outpouring of positive response back to you, it certainly makes it worth it. Thank you. Let me go on a rant now, if I may, just for a moment, with this debt ceiling and all this debt talk. It is driving me crazy, ladies and gentlemen. It is void of any good old horse sense, good old common sense. Look, I'm 47 years old, just turned 47 a month or so ago. My whole life, since I can cognitively recall listening to the news and what have you, as a relatively, maybe a teenager, a young person, all I've ever heard is deficit that we've got to deal with. All I've ever heard is about social programs that need to be funded. All I've ever heard my whole life is raise taxes. And what's interesting, coming from a welfare and very poor background, I was on that bandwagon. Yeah, the rich man should take care of the poor person. Well, as I have pulled myself out of the gutter, went into the military, got an education, worked hard and developed a business and got to a certain level of success, I have a different mentality. You know, I've often wondered who was born at the same time the person that has their hand out for some form of entitlement. Who was born at the same time they were born that should be strapped with the responsibility of providing it? Ladies and gentlemen, I rarely watch the news anymore because it just aggravates me. But all I ever hear is negative, negative, negative. There's no accentuation of the positive. It's nothing but soundbite after soundbite. In fact, many of the people that I hear walking through my office, all I hear is soundbites from them. You can almost tell which side of the conversation they're talking to, which TV station they're watching, based on their verbiage and their vernacular as it relates to this debt ceiling and the political environment that we are living in right now. And all I can say is, as a patriotic, red-blooded veteran, an American who pays his taxes, pulled himself out of the gutter, and found a certain level of success in this society that gives you the opportunity, I will tell you that it sickens me, the level of competency that our current officials, I mean left, right, middle, backwards, forwards, and every which way. It is sick. There is no accountability in this country anymore. Anybody can get on the TV and say whatever they want to say. There's no accountability whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Do you actually think? I can't believe I heard the president recently mention that if we don't get this debt deal done, that people may not get their Social Security checks, veterans may not get their benefits on August 3rd. That is absolutely horrendous and way out of line. This guy is doing nothing but fear-mongering. He ought to be ashamed of himself. And it doesn't matter who it would be, left, right, or it makes no difference. Do you actually think, ladies and gentlemen, that there is an institution, a bank, or a credit union in this country that would not cash a government check? Spare me with all this propaganda. I mean, what are we living in, Germany? Are we living in Russia? I mean, what kind of country are we living in where people can get up, say whatever they want to say, left, right, middle, and not have any type of accountability, and then have the mainstream media propagate it like it's fact? It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing when I look and I see the level of absolute just, you know what it is? It's very simple. I've said it before, and I'm going to get off my rant here, ladies and gentlemen. This government's not going to shut down. If this deal don't get done, nothing's going to change in your daily life, okay? And let me, please, don't get duped into this stuff. This is nothing but fear-mongering, political propaganda at its very core. I mean, 50 years ago, people would be brought to task for these same kind of statements that some of these politicians are making today. It's just become, we've become so desynthesized that we're starting to accept this minutia. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have in this country, very simply, is not a revenue problem. They've been throwing money and raising taxes ever since I can remember. I've never been able to sit around an older group of people and not have taxes come up at some point and realize that all they've ever done is raise them, and we have the same problems. We have the same problems we had 30, 40 years ago. Different names, different terms, but exactly the same issue. A direct and blatant lack of accountability for the responsibility that these people are tasked with. And I'll tell you, passing the buck needs to stop. You know, we're seeing, I can just go crazy. I mean, I'm seeing the government revenue, the jobs, the amount of money that the government, you went from the Department of Agriculture 3 years ago having one person in the whole department making $100,000 a year to over 200 people in the same department. Now, I'm not saying everybody should do what they're, should be earning what they're due. But brother, sisters, if you're going to accept the responsibility, okay? If you want the authority, you're going to have to accept the responsibility. If you want the authority, I may have misspoke earlier when I got those backwards. If you want the authority of parenting, if you want the authority of parenting as an example and have a child, have the responsibility to raise them properly. If you want the authority of having a job where you delegate and have people working for you, then you should be responsible enough to do your job so it raises them to another level. All this backbiting, passing the buck, saying it's not my problem is ridiculous. But anyway, that's Paul's opinion. You're welcome to it. I will tell you, our forefathers would be ashamed of the level that we're seeing in all sides. Spineless, fear-mongering. I mean, this would be, this is the kind of level, and I hate to say this, but to me, this is no different than Nazi propaganda in World War II. This kind of fear-mongering, I liken it to Nazi propaganda that was utilized in World War II. You know, a chicken in every pot was Hitler's commitment to the people. That's how he won them over, a chicken in every pot. You know, ladies and gentlemen, whose responsibility is it to provide the chicken? Much less the pot. I mean, it's crazy. Drives me nuts. Let's move on to happier things like our market update. The market has been rocky this year. We had a pretty decent first quarter. Second quarter beat us up with a little bit of a rally toward the end. But let me tell you why I endeavor to do the market update on a regular basis. We want and we believe that an academic and scientific approach to investing is how you prudently and successfully invest. Investing is pretty simple. Own equities, own them for the long term, rebalance on a regular basis. And I would encourage you, depending on your age and when you're going to retire, when you're going to retire, to consider how your income streams may be impacted by the market, and you may want to look at other alternatives. With that being said, though, we believe in an academic approach to investing. All the prices of goods and services are figured in instantaneously. Only new and unknowable information would change the price of goods and services out there. That the free market dictates supply and demand and prices, therefore, of goods and services, that you cannot predict with any certainty what's going to happen in the future. So rather, to just focus on owning the entire marketplace. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone out there that implies to you, and we see it on these talking heads on TV, implies, inference. What is lying? I teach my kids a lie isn't the perception of what people understand and how you say it. It's the very intent of what you're saying. This is what bothers me back, if I can digress again, about the politicians. They know damn well what they're doing. Their intent is to mislead. Left, right, center, it's all about packaging and perception. They don't think you are mature enough to handle the truth. They want to treat you like children, like a child. You know, it just aggravates me. I'm sorry. I went on a rant again. Let me get back to the market update. Because we believe the market is not predictable, we want to own the entire marketplace. And we want to rebalance. We want to own umbrellas and suntan lotion. We never know whether it's going to rain or the sun's going to shine. We don't believe anyone knows what's going to happen in the market moving forward. And anyone that gives you any implication or any inference that they do is deceitful or stupid. One of the two, because it's just, and if, look, ladies and gentlemen, if somebody did have some insight, like one of these big talking heads on TV, if they did have the insight, why would they be sharing it with you? Look, if you really knew or had any kind of insight in what was going to happen in the market next week or next month, would you share that with anyone but close friends and family and people that you love and care about? Well, you wouldn't need to, would you? So anyone that's selling you a book on how to trade or, you know, how to do this or how to do that, you got to ask yourself, well, if they could really do it, why are they selling a book on how to do it? But anyway, we believe the market is efficient, absolutely efficient, whereby we're going to own the entire marketplace, rebalance on a regular basis, and not even worry about all the news that you hear, all the hype, energy, gold, yada, 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 yada. That's what I'm hearing, yada, 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 yada. Prudent long-term investing, own the entire marketplace, and understand that equities are a long-term investment, that rebalancing and owning equities outperforms historically any other type of investment, equities, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. You start to look at this, ladies and gentlemen, the market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. We just don't know which ones are going to be which. You see, we all love volatility, don't we? You love volatility when it's up. You just don't like volatility when it's down. So how is the market doing as of the business close, July 12th? That would have been Tuesday, July 12th, business close. I'm recording this on the 13th. Let's talk about the Russell 2500. We're going to go through several index or indice plural, and this is going to represent predominantly the whole marketplace. So theoretically or in practical application, if you own a well-diversified portfolio, it should be of interest to you, all these asset classes. If your portfolio runs lockstep with the nightly news report on the market, you probably don't have a very well-diversified portfolio, because what they're showing you is predominantly U.S. large companies when they show you the Dow and the S&P, etc. So we want to know what's going on in all the index or indice. Russell 2500, which measures small to mid-sized U.S. companies, it's about 8% year-to-date. These are year-to-date 2011 as of July 12th. Russell 2000, which measures small to very small companies, is about 6.5% in the positive for the year. Russell 1000, which measures large value companies. You want to own value companies and growth companies. A growth company would be like a Walmart, a very well-established, good dividends, best deal when they go to secure financing and et cetera, et cetera. A value company would be not a Walmart, but let's say an old example would be a Kmart. They were a distressed company until Sears picked them up. Not a bad company, but you should expect to get a higher risk premium, a higher return for investing in a value over a growth company. So Russell 1000 value, which is large value companies, is about 4% for the year. Not bad. We're in the positive. Russell 2000, which measures the small cap value, not growth, but small value, is about 4.65% year to date for the Russell 2000. And then to round out the U.S. equity arena, we have the S&P 500, which is widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market. Predominantly, think of them as 500 large U.S. companies, predominantly, and that's about that index is about 5.5%. So, at this point in the year, although we had a rocky second quarter, the market is still in the positive and certainly on pace as it relates to time. Five more months left in the year to pick up the double digit returns in the different asset classes that we would like to see from year to year. When we get into the international arena, that's a whole different ballgame, ladies and gentlemen. In the international arena, we have the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index, Emerging Markets, and IFA. The World Index is really a market-capitalized weighted index that's designed to measure developed markets like Australia, Austria, Canada, Finland, France, New Zealand, United Kingdom, just to name a few. So these would be developed international countries, and they're about 2% to the good for the year. Although we're hearing a lot of stuff about the global markets and the debt and the Greece and et cetera, the pigs, what is that, Portugal, Greece, and Ireland. You know, there's a lot of turmoil going on over there with the debt issue brought on by the social issue, yada, yada, all those things going on over there. So it's dragged the market down, especially in the emerging markets arena. The Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index is designed to measure emerging markets like Argentina, Brazil, China, Colombia, Hungary, India, Mexico, Peru, Philippines, et cetera, okay? It's down negative 2.6%. Now, what's interesting is the UK, Portugal, and Greece are in the developed index, developed market index, or developed market countries index, and that's in the positive. The actual emerging one's the one that's in the negative. So the world index is up 2, the emerging markets is down 2.6, and then the Europe, Australia, Far East, the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, Far East is the worst of all the asset classes. Well, I shouldn't say it's the worst, it's negative 0.38. So the worst is the emerging market. Emerging markets and the IFA, Europe, Australia, and the Far East, are the only things in the negative for this market update as of July 12th, 2011. The market's still up overall. So overall, even if you consider those couple, the areas of international dragging down the overall portfolio, your portfolio should definitely still be handsomely in the positive. When I say handsomely, anytime you can stay ahead of inflation, you're winning. And I would say the average overall would be above that for this year. So it's nothing we can jump up and down over, but it's certainly nothing to get down in the mouth over either. You know, it's interesting. Whatever it is, if we had a 2,000-point day, you'd be excited, but it would pass. If we had a 2,000-point negative day, you would be bummed out, but it too would pass. This too shall pass. You know, there's only one day that's really important as it relates to your balances in your account, and that's the day you need to pull the money out for whatever reason. This is why income planning becomes a little more complex than just taking a withdrawal rate off your accounts from a peace of mind perspective. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. And I'm about done at this point. After my rant and the market update, I think you probably heard enough of Paul for one day. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host, the Investor Coach. I'm the founder of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in State College, Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have business all over the country. If you would like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, we have a plethora, yes, I said plethora, of material on our website, Financial Abundance, Inc. I believe, although I may be fallen off the ranking a little bit because I haven't been creating as much content lately, but you should be able to type in Investor Coach, Financial Abundance, or Paul Nichols and should get our website right in Google. There's an Ask the Coach section if you'd like to ask us a question or specifically ask me a question. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach, check out the website or just call our office directly, 814-867-5745. Again, it's Paul Nichols, Financial Abundance, 814-867-5745. We have a lot of tools, a lot of educational material. If you're not sure what you're doing, let's get you coached up on what you should be doing and then talk about what your options are. So with that being said, I hope you enjoy our podcast. Thank you again for being patient with my recent lapse in creating a weekly podcast. We will be back on track mid-July and hopefully moving forward hot and heavy as ever. Once again, the Investor Coach pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. You don't need to know everything. You do not need to know everything if you have an Investor Coach teaching you the few right things. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you very soon. Have a great day.